All right, and please bow your heads with me once again. Well, Father, again today we praise you for this time we're able to spend remembering what you have done for us, the great hope that you have provided to us. And we pray that you would use this time now as we look to your word to just instill that faith, to build it up within each one of our hearts. And we pray that just as we prayed during the baptism, that you would sustain, that you would keep each one of us in faith until the time of your coming, when we will go to spend eternity with you in your kingdom. So bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as most of you know, for the last many weeks, we've been talking about trusting God when it's difficult for us to do so. We've been looking at circumstances where we really tend to have a tough time trusting God. And we've been looking at assurances from Scripture that enable us to place our trust in the Lord even then. And today we come to one more of these. We're going to be finishing this up next week, just prior to Pastor Carr coming for our spiritual life meetings. But as you see up here, we're going to be talking today about death. And it just doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're young, if you're old, if you're rich, if you're poor, if you're Christian, or if you're non-Christian. But death is something that touches each one of us. Because everybody dies, you know, we all come to a point in life where we start to lose those that we care about. And sometimes this happens to us very early on in life. Sometimes it doesn't begin to happen until much later. But the day eventually comes for all of us. And once again, in times like this, it can be difficult for us. It can be very difficult for us to trust the Lord in such a time. Now, I can recall, you know, going way, way, way back in my childhood, going to various funerals with my parents. We attended the funerals of various family members, of various friends of the family, and I'm sure that most of you have similar memories as well. We haven't been in the world very long before we come to terms with this reality that everyone dies, and that we will someday lose those that we love. As a pastor, of course, I've dealt with death a good deal. I've ministered to so many families who have experienced loss. I've conducted funerals for those who have died at a good old age, but also for those who have had much more tragic deaths. I have performed funerals for those who have died because of disease, for those killed in car accidents, even for those who have taken their own life. I've done so many funerals throughout the course of my ministry, I couldn't begin to tell you how many I've done. And honestly, I can't remember the names of many of those that I've laid to rest at this point. I've also been with a number of people at the time of their death, or sometimes just before they passed. I've had the privilege of praying with them, of reading Scripture with them. I've been able to share the gospel with some in their final days or in their final hours. I've been able to witness expressions of faith as people have approached the end of their time in this world. I've even seen such expressions of faith from those who seemed otherwise to be comatose. You know, something as simple as praying the Lord's Prayer, and all of a sudden their eyes perk up and they start praying right along with you, even though they have said nothing else for days. I've been there as families have dealt with those losses, and I've watched how they've dealt with them. I've listened to them as they've processed their loss. And of course, I've hugged them and just prayed with them as they've grieved. However, the hardest death I've personally had to cope with at this point in my life has been the death of my mother a couple years back. And it was hard. It took only a matter of 6 months for her to go from a seemingly active, healthy woman to her death, because she had an aggressive form of cancer that quickly weakened her and took her life. And when we face losses such as these, we're often left with questions, even doubts. In the case of my mom, it was only natural for many of our family members and friends to wonder, you know, how did this happen to a woman who was still relatively young? It was only natural for them to wonder, how did this happen to somebody who just seemed to live a pretty healthy life overall? Of course, there are some believers who wondered why this would happen to a woman of faith. And then there are those who are really close to her, such as my father, who asked why it had to be her. He asked why the Lord hadn't simply taken him instead. I remember similar questions being asked when one of my grandfathers died, when I was quite young, when I was about 12 years old. But he had been a smoker for most of his life. He developed lung cancer, and with treatment, he only lived for about a year. And he was only in his mid-50s when he passed. But I remember the struggle that especially my grandmother had as he passed. And again, it makes sense that she had a hard time. She had known him. Not only had she been married to him, but she had known him from childhood. He had been the best friend of her brother. And so, of course, they had gotten to know each other, and they had married as soon as he had gotten out of the Navy. But her reaction was like that of many upon losing a loved one. You know, she would ask, why did God allow this to happen? And she didn't understand why God didn't do something to help, to prevent this from taking place. Again, this is a very typical response. In a time of loss, many people question their faith. Many people question God himself. They don't understand how a loving God could allow their loved one to die. They don't understand how a loving God could allow such suffering in life. They don't understand how God, being all-powerful, wouldn't do more, why he wouldn't step in to help, to heal. They don't understand why God doesn't prevent death from occurring. And because of questions like these, because of doubts such as these, it's hard, quite often, for people to trust God. Trusting him, it just does not seem to make sense at that point in time. Now, in our gospel lesson, this is one I love. I have often used it at funerals, and it makes sense. It's very fitting. It's a very similar situation to what we've been discussing here so far. We see in this passage the death of a man, and we also see the reaction of his two sisters. And in this situation, we hear a very precious promise, and we learn how we are able to trust God even when faced with the loss of a loved one. Now, I didn't have all of this passage read for you, but if you want to open your Bible and follow along, that's great. But we see that Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus were friends of Jesus. And we're told specifically about Mary that she is the one who had anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. So when Lazarus became sick, his sisters naturally sent for their friend. They naturally sent for Jesus. They sent for him saying that the one he loves is ill, and as we see later in this story, they did so knowing Jesus' power. They did so in hope that Jesus might come and that he might heal their brother. Now, what stands out, what seems unusual as we consider the circumstances that are taking place, is Jesus' response when he receives this message. Because if any of us received word that a loved one was seriously ill, our first impulse is to go to them. We want to get there as quickly as we can to be with him. And it doesn't matter how busy we are, it doesn't matter how full our calendar may be, we drop everything and we go. And this is true of us, even though in pretty much every case, we can do nothing to help. All we can do is be with them, all we can do is provide them with our prayers and our support in their final hours. And again, this was my reaction when my mom was near death. My dad called and he said she's near that time and she's calling out for me. And obviously I didn't have time to drive there, so I got a flight booked right away, flew down there, and I was able to be with her for a couple of days while she was yet aware of my presence. And I think that this desire to go, it would be even stronger if there were something that you could do to help. Our ability to help would create within us a sense of responsibility. We would want to do everything that we possibly could to make that person well. And this is the struggle that we often face when it comes to the illness of Lazarus, because we know that Jesus had the ability to help. We know that he had the power to heal. As we read throughout the four Gospels, we see the numerous miracles that he performed. We read how he opened the eyes of the blind and how he made the lame to walk and how he cast out demons and healed those who were sick. However, again, when Jesus received word of Lazarus' illness, he did the exact opposite of what we would expect. Instead of going, instead of immediately dropping everything and going to be with him, Jesus remained where he was for two more days. And only after this time did Jesus depart for their home. Now, Mary and Martha, of course, they had no idea why Jesus delayed in coming. But as we see in this passage, there was a purpose in it. Jesus says as much when he first received the message that they had sent. In verse 4, he said to his disciples, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, this may initially seem a little bit confusing, and it seems this way because, again, Jesus says this illness does not lead to death, but most of us who know the rest of the story, we know how it plays out. And we know that Lazarus does, in fact, die. So, you know, how could Jesus say such a thing? How could he say this illness does not lead to death? Well, Jesus is able to say this because he already knows how things are going to play out. He knows what is going to happen to Lazarus. He knows what he is going to do in response. And he knows that even though Lazarus will die, it's not going to be permanent. Lazarus is going to live again. When Jesus says that Lazarus' illness will not lead to death, he is also pointing to the fact that there is a purpose in what was to take place. He's telling his disciples that there is a reason God has allowed this to happen. And even though he doesn't spell it out for us at this point, he says that it's for the glory of God. He says that it's for God's glory so that the Son, so that Jesus could be glorified through it. So in this case that we're reading about today, God allowed Lazarus to fall ill that Jesus might be glorified. God allowed this so that Jesus' identity might be revealed both to the disciples and also to the rest of the people who had gathered to be with Mary and Martha at this point. And this is brought out again to us in verse 14. When Jesus first told his disciples that they were going to Lazarus, he said that Lazarus was asleep and that they were going to wake him. They didn't understand, though, what Jesus was talking about when Jesus said that Lazarus was asleep. They thought literally that he was asleep. And when you're sick, sleep is a good thing. But then Jesus said to them, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." So what Jesus planned to do would cause his disciples to believe. It would help them to more fully understand who Jesus is, and cause their faith in him to grow. And these words seem to suggest that had Jesus been there sooner, this opportunity would not have presented itself. Yet even though there was a reason for the delay, as I mentioned before, Mary and Martha had no idea. All they knew is that their brother was dead. All they knew was that had Jesus been there, he could have done something. He could have helped. And again, by the time Jesus arrived, Lazarus had already been dead. He had already been buried for 4 days. But when she heard that he was coming, Martha went out to meet him, and she said to Jesus in verse 21, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So Martha, she voiced the feelings that many of us have felt, that many of us have expressed at the time of a loss in our own life. She knew that Jesus could have helped her brother. She knew that had he come, had he been there, he could have healed Lazarus. He could have prevented Lazarus' death. Now we see later that Mary also came out and she expressed the very same thought because, as I mentioned, this really isn't unusual in the least. Many of us have expressed that same thought in a time of loss. We've cried out to God saying, "Where are you? I know that you could have helped. Why did you do nothing?" And so often, again, This is followed by asking God, why have you allowed my loved one to die? But Martha didn't stop there, because in addition to this statement, she also made a great profession of faith. In verse 22, she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She seems to be saying that even though Jesus had not come sooner, even though Jesus had not healed her brother, she had not lost faith in him. She continued to trust in him in spite of her loss. Even though he hadn't been there to help, she still had faith. And this is where many of us struggle in a time of loss. Some of us can say like Martha, even though you didn't help them, even though they still died, I still believe. But for others, they're not quite there. These are not words that they can speak. It's not easy for them to trust God when it seems that he did nothing to help. But at this point, Jesus reassures Martha. And he assures her with the hope of the resurrection, simply telling her, your brother will rise again. And Martha knew this. She believed this. She told Jesus that she knew her brother would rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But we see from this statement that she didn't even fathom what Jesus was about to do. She likely didn't even think it were possible. She likely believed that Jesus could have helped Lazarus before his death, but now that he was gone, there really wasn't any hope for him. But Jesus goes on to make a very strong statement, one of my favorites in all of Scripture, which I think is the key to trusting God in a time of loss. And starting in verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he says. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And he follows this up by asking her, do you believe this? So again, Jesus tells her that he is the resurrection and the life. And he is telling Martha in this way that the resurrection is found in him. He's telling her that he is the power that makes the resurrection possible. He's telling her that he is the source of life and that he has power over life and death. As Jesus says, even though we die, he can make us to live again. And this is what he means when he says that even though we die, yet shall we live. Through Jesus, we have the assurance of life everlasting. In him, we can be assured of the resurrection. And this blessing, as he points out very clearly in these words, it's received through faith in him. So this is not something that we accomplish for ourselves. It's not based on our goodness. It's not based upon anything that we do. It can't be found in any other religion or in any other belief system. It's by believing in him that we will live even though we die. It's through faith in him that we will live forever. So we must trust in him if we are to receive these blessings. And this is the great hope that we have as believers in Jesus. This is the great hope that we have as we face loss, whether it be the loss of someone we love or even if we're nearing the time of our own passing. We know that death is not the end. We know that through faith in Jesus, we will in fact live forever. And this is something that makes death much easier for us to cope with. And don't misunderstand me when I say this, because I'm not suggesting that we have no reason to feel sad when a loved one dies. I'm not suggesting that our feelings of grief demonstrate a lack of faith on our part, because of course we do have reason to grieve. After all, the person that we loved so much, they're no longer here with us. We won't be able to share life with them as we have for so long. However, it's easier because we know that they are not gone. It's easier knowing that, provided they had faith, they are with Jesus. It's easier knowing that because we have faith, we will one day be in the presence of Christ along with them. Now, even though in the moment it may seem like Jesus did nothing to help, the reality is so much different than that. In fact, Jesus did everything necessary to help them. Think about the message of Scripture. The Son of God took on flesh and became man. He gave his life on the cross, atoning for the sin of the world. He rose from the grave, defeating the power of death. And because of this, even though our loved one has died, even though their life in this world has come to an end, their life yet continues on, and it continues on free of the suffering of this life. Because of Jesus, because he is the resurrection and the life, our loved one is enjoying life in his presence. He's enjoying life free of sin, free of its consequences. Jesus has, in fact, healed them. And they are experiencing life as we have never known it. And of course, in the end, as Jesus tells us, their physical body, it will rise from the grave. And it will be raised as a spiritual body to dwell in his kingdom forever and ever. So a tremendous hope that Christ gives to us. And I realize that this doesn't help with the grief we face when a loved one dies apart from faith in the Lord. Because salvation is found through faith in Christ alone, because he is the only way of salvation, we do know what that means. We understand what that means for those who die apart from faith. And few of us even want to think of what they experience after death at that point. However, even though dealing with the death of an unsaved person may be especially difficult, we can take comfort in the fact that the Lord did everything possible for them. We can take comfort in the fact that God desired their salvation. We can take comfort in the fact that God provided salvation for them and for all people. God didn't simply abandon them. God didn't turn his back on them. In fact, God reached out to them until the very end. Now, getting back to our text in John 11, we see that Jesus not only spoke this truth to Martha, he not only told her that he is the resurrection and the life, he then demonstrated this power. He asked her where Lazarus had been laid, and when he got there, he told them to remove the stone away from the entrance to the tomb. Now Martha, she objected that since he had been there for 4 days, you might not want to do that. It probably stinks. But Jesus told her in verse 40, "Didn't I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And at this point, the stone was removed. Jesus prayed. Then he called upon Lazarus to come forth from the tomb. And Lazarus did just that. He then emerged from the tomb alive, still wrapped in the burial cloths that had been placed around him. We can see also the results of this act in verse 45. We are told that many of the Jews who had gathered, who had seen what Jesus did, they believed in him. Seeing his power over life and death, they could not help but place their faith in him. So Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And because of this, the question that we have to ask is the very same question that Jesus asked of Martha in our lesson for today. A very simple question. Do you believe this? And this is the important question because our answer to it determines whether or not we can trust God in a time of loss. What I'm saying is that if we truly believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, we'll have no problem trusting Jesus even then. Now Mary, as we saw, she was able to answer this question saying, "Yes, Lord, I know that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world." She knew and she believed that Jesus was the Savior promised and sent by God. And because of this, she knew and she believed that Jesus had power over life and power over death. And my hope and prayer is that as you go through life and as you experience loss, you will be able to answer just as Martha did. I pray that you will be able to confess even then that yes, Jesus, I believe you are the Christ, I believe you are the Son of God. And I pray that you'll be able to trust in God even then. Amen. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this great hope that you have given to us. You haven't left us to face the prospect of death on our own. You haven't left us without hope in the face of death. In fact, you have provided for us a great comfort and a great promise, revealing to us that life is found in you and that you have power even over death itself. And we pray that you would help us to hold on to this promise, to hold on to this hope, even in the face of loss. Help us to know and believe that through faith in you, we can and we will, in fact, live forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And please rise and join with me now as we pray the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.